we continue our study on the power of his word. Tonight we're going to go to James chapter 1. So if you got your Bibles, let's go to James chapter 1 and see what the Father wants to tell us tonight. Hallelujah. Our focus verse tonight is verse number 21. We good up there? Hallelujah. Verse 21 says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity is not a word that we normally use, but it's the abundance of naughtiness, okay? And receive with meekness the engrafted word. The engrafted word is it's implanted, it's rooted in you, okay? To implant it and root in you, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, amen? So first thing is, God sends his word for us to receive to remove some things. Amen? First thing we're going to talk about is to remove our infirmities. Remember the Apostle Paul said, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, I'd rather glorify him in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Infirmities are weaknesses. So with that in mind, look with me in. And Romans chapter 6. Verse number 19. The word of God says this. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, sin after sin. Even so now, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So even now, yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Amen? We're being transformed into the image of Christ, okay? He takes us from holy to holy. Now, he doesn't condemn us where we're at. He loves us where we're at. And love covers a multitude of sins. So the only thing that removes sin is love. So God continues to pour his love out on you and I. But he says he wants to remove some things. One of the things he wants to remove out of our lives is our infirmities and our giving in to sin. And that's why I have then the second one is our infidelity. Infidelity is to cheat, for example, is to cheat on your husband or your wife. That's infidelity. How many know that we're the bride of Christ? Okay? Another definition for infidelity is unfaithfulness. Okay? Unfaithfulness. So if I cheated on my spouse or my mate, I would be unfaithful, right? So with that in mind, look with me in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 3. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So what the Apostle Paul was saying, he said, okay, when the Lord met us, we had all kinds of things going on. I don't know about you, but what the Lord does, it's like my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God lives and resides in me. And I have many rooms in this house. Amen. This temple has many rooms. And what the Lord does is the Holy Spirit goes into a room. And he goes in the room, he reveals things that are out of order in that room. And he cleans that room. He doesn't come in and overwhelm me and say, your house is just a mess, you got to get everything together at one moment. Amen? He takes me from place, he takes us from glory to glory. In other words, he'll come in room by room, and as he sweeps that room, and all of a sudden, I feel like I got it all together, and everything's good. Then he goes to another room, and then all of a sudden, oops, Obi. Oh, yeah, you going to deal with that, really? Is that just me, or is there anybody else in the room? Amen? Amen? We're constantly being transformed into his image. And the reason I say this is there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Your flesh isn't going to like the things that the Spirit asks you to do and what God asks you to do. Your flesh is never, never going to agree with it. The flesh and the Spirit are enmity against each other. It's a battle. It's a war. Amen? But God says you can do all things through Christ Jesus that gives you strength. Now, God wouldn't talk to you about something or bring something to your in front of you if he wasn't going to help you to get over it or get past it, okay? In other words, he doesn't put something in front of you that everything that he's ever put in front of me and showed me, I never could do it on my own strength. I never could do it on my own power. I needed to rest in him. I needed to trust in him. So he says first he wants to remove our infirmities or our weaknesses. He wants to remove our infidelity, but he also in there also wants to remove our insecurity. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 2. Is everybody with me on this? We all together? Now, verse number 9. The word of God says this, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. You know, God calls for us also to honor and respect, you know, to honor those in authority. Amen? So, if he knows how to deliver us in, out of our insecurity or the place that we're not secure in or strong in, by removing our infidelity, our unfaithfulness, it will touch and heal that infirmity, okay, or that weakness. Amen? Amen. But the key is when we're insecure, we have to recognize that our security comes in and through him. Amen? And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank the Lord for the helper. Amen? Amen? You know, I had a minister this afternoon, and you know, the key is this: Christian or the Bible, and we have these cliches that we use when things happen, and we're facing things. Will we make this statement? Well, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. But the key is, do you recognize him as the greater one in you? And if you don't have revelation and understanding how great the one is in you, you can't overcome outside because it just becomes a statement. In other words, you have to see how big God is in you to be delivered out of our infirmities, out of our infidelities, and out of our insecurities, okay? So God is always working. He's always at work. So that's important for us to receive the word, okay? To receive the word. And that comes by to comprehend. And we know that Matthew 13, I use that scripture because it fits. Amen? Verse 23, he says, but he that received the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, and some 60, and some 30. He said here, he hears the word, and he understands it, he comprehends it. You know, one of the fruits, or the greatest fruits of a child of God is the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. And as we allow those fruits to be manifested in our lives, it shows that the Word is at work in our lives. Amen? The adversary, I used it, and people that follow me on Facebook, I used it the other day that the adversary uses his hocus pocus to steal your focus. And that's what he does, okay? He doesn't let you see reality. He paints pictures and they look one way, but they're really not, okay? And God wants us to have revelation. So if we receive the word, there's something. What did he say? He said the engrafted word. The engrafted word was implanted. It was implanted and rooted. That means to conceive it. It's like when you conceived the seed, when the seed was conceived, it became a living being, okay? So the word, as it's received, it conceives, it births something, okay? We have to allow it to manifest and be birthed inside of us. I love what happened on the day of Pentecost on Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, and then verse 41, and then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. But it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear or reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Where did it start? They gladly received the word. They gladly received the word. In other words, we have to be in a receptive mood, and we have to be thankful even when it challenges us. He says, in everything give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So when I get corrected by the Lord, it doesn't feel good, but at the same time, I know it's for my benefit. Amen? How many know that God loves you? How many know that he has a plan for your life? Amen? He says, and then when we receive the word, when we comprehend the word conceives inside of us, and then the word will compensate. It'll pay off. Amen? How many likes compensation? How many likes to receive their paycheck for where you work? All right? Would you continue to work there if they didn't give you a paycheck? So we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, the word has an effect, you know. So he's saying to us tonight, we need to receive the word, to comprehend it, to conceive it, to compensate it. Why are we looking at this? Because God wants us to overcome our infirmities. He wants us to overcome our infidelities. He wants us to overcome our insecurities. Amen. And we do this by receiving the word. We receive it by comprehending it. Amen. By conceiving it inside. And then it has a payoff. Amen. So, thirdly, to redeem. One of the things is, the most important thing is to endure. Amen? Sometimes it's in the midst of the battle. Sometimes it gets difficult. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, I think you ought to get a revelation of this. When you're serving the Lord, a lot of people don't like you. Hello? It's just the way it is. Amen? Jesus said it. That don't mean that we have to be, that doesn't mean we're to be unlikable. Amen? We're to be bare love. But Jesus said this in Matthew 10, 22. He said, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth till the end shall be saved." Amen? So he's redeemed us from the curse of sin so that we may endure. Amen? We've got our helper to help us fight the good fight. He said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay a hold of eternal life, whereunto you are called and professed a good witness, a good testimony before many witnesses." Amen? So we know there's a battle, but we cannot endure unless we endeavor. In other words, to endeavor is to move towards something in difficulty. It's going to be hard, but we have to endeavor to do it. Amen? No matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, we have to hold on to the Word of God, because that's the only thing that doesn't change. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. He said, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, endeavor with diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Well, what does he say? What am I doing? Go back to verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." Amen. So we're enduring by endeavoring to live by the Word of God. Amen. And if we follow God, we will enter. To enter, and I look at the end of the book in Revelation 22, verse number 12. The Word of God says this. He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to the work shall be." Wait a minute. Let me stop there a minute. According, faith without works is dead, being alone. What I am given an account for is what God asked me to do and I didn't do. And sometimes it isn't all those things we did or whatever. Oh, I did this and I did that. But did God ask you to do those things, or did you do those things? You know, it's out of the heart. What we're being judged for is, what has God asked you to do? What has God called you to do? What are you doing with what your gifts that God gave you? Recognize that every gift that God has given us is for the benefit of someone else. Amen. We're gathered here to grow in God's Word so we can benefit others. We can grow, but the key is that we're benefiting others. And he said in verse 13, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Verse 14, he says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city, the holy city. Amen? Amen? So we're looking at this. God has called us. Amen? So it's important that he has sent his word to rescue us. To rescue. Man, the psalmist says in Psalms 119. This is a good question, young men, young women, old men, old women. Well, there ain't nobody old in here, so young men, young women. Verse number 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. By taking heed. So, we find that his word was to remove our infirmities, our infidelity, our insecurity. We're to receive the word, to comprehend, to conceive it within. And there's the compensation. The word's to redeem us when we adore. We endure by endeavoring to enter in the finished work. So in closing, he says he gave his word to remove all uncleanness so we can receive forgiveness and to redeem us from the curse of sin and to rescue our souls. I know he's rescued my soul. I believe. I was thinking somebody else would sing out. Does he? Thank you for singing. Any questions? Any thoughts?